they understood the extent of that. If they really understood what was going on, that they were excluded, would be very upset and jealous. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are dead in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. So again, this is the idea of no resurrection at all. But again, I don't see much of that. Except, you know, obviously people don't believe in, you know, people who, this is the idea of people who believe in Christ, but were beginning to deny the resurrection. I guess there is that among people at universities and people who, like, they, yeah, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in miracles, and they don't believe in, you know, a lot of, you know, people go on to that liberal end of Christianity. I guess I think of the conservative end of Christianity, because that's where I came from. Though now I know I'm in the radical end of it. So, you know, the idea of, you know, there being no resurrection at all is, you know, to those people, they know this is in here. And they'll say, well, there is a resurrection, but it's like a spiritual awakening. And the resurrection is just like the newness of life. And you know what? There's a truth in that. The resurrection is the newness of life, but there's also the resurrection of the body. Because if we don't conquer death, then what's the point of having a new life? Then when we die, we're just like everybody else. Oh, you know, people, and I know people have said, but you would have lived so much better. Like, yeah, but I've been. But who cares? If that's all I have in life, then what's the point? We are of all men most miserable. I'll tell you what. There are a lot of things I wanted to do in my youth that I didn't because of the faith that was on me from my birth. I never came to faith. I never remember not believing in God, except later in life when I began to seriously doubt it. Seriously doubt it. I've never been an atheist. But I've behaved like I believe there was no God many times. I know that. So to me, that's like an inner conviction. You know what I mean? It's like, though I would not outwardly deny God, I had an inner conviction that God was not, you know, didn't take it that seriously. I tell you what, to this day, I don't know if I take God as seriously as my children take me. Which troubles me. It does. Because I think, whoa, you know, I think about the way they obey me, and I think, gee, look at you, Paul. And I'm very self-reflective in that, because you know what, you have to be. What am I going to do, start judging other people? I'll judge myself. If I'm perfect, then I can start judging other people, I suppose. But I don't, you know, people say, well, Paul, you are judging things. I don't say, I said things, yeah, I judge things. I'm just, you know, everyone has to judge things, and you know, the judgment of God is sure that certain things are the way they are. And you can not like it, you can argue with it, whatever, but all I do is try to understand what it is, and then meditate on it. Declare it, and speak it to people, so they might have some sort of understanding of it. So, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet. I read that already. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished, in this that we are most miserable. You know, there are a lot of things I would have liked to have done as far as in this life, you know, that I didn't do because of faith, because, you know, I was inhibited. I was inhibited by it, you know. You know, trying to live righteously, having this guilt, and wanting to be God. You know, people would say, "Oh, people pity religious people. They pity me." Or you know what? If God isn't true, I'm worthy of pity because I'm trying to do all these things to please a God that's just he ain't there. You know, but I feel sure he is there for several reasons, and I'm not going to go into that because you know I'm not trying to convince people that there is a God or whatever. I'm trying to call a certain people to faith in Jesus Christ, for the power of his resurrection, the power of his sacrifice. You know, I had that power come on me in a physical manifestation where I felt it, you know. And I know, I would tell people about it, and I know exactly what people are going to say. Well, I believe that you're sincere, but there was probably some other explanation. It's like, I understand that. That's exactly what I would have said. And I really wouldn't expect anything else to convince you, except having the same experience yourself. And that's what I pray for you, that you would have the same experience, or something similar, or whatever would be convincing for you, that you might realize you're calling an election, and that you would be become one of his chosen. But you know what? If God hasn't chosen you, you'll never have it. And you'll mock, and you'll do this, do that, the other. And you know what? I hope you enjoy yourself while you're doing it, at least. Because then you can be happy, you know? Enjoy the things you love while you live. Because when you die, you will enjoy nothing. It's just, you're going to be dead. So, if this isn't for you, then it isn't for you. But if you hear my words, if you feel where I felt, you know, like you feel righteousness, godliness, virtue, I need to do all these things, you know, right? You feel that? Then you come. Conform to it. I'm not here to make everyone, you know, something they can't be. Let God convince you. Let his power come over you in that sense. And then when that happens, you know what? You won't be able to resist it. It's not for everybody. 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I'm just trying to look where I'm going to break, because I know I'm going to have to break, because this is a long chapter and it's late at night. So Christ is risen from the dead, according to our faith. And he's become the first fruits of them that slept. I mean, the people who died, he's the first that ever rose. You know, if resurrection is something else, then Jesus isn't the first fruit. David is dead. His grave is with us. That's what Peter said in Acts 2. The fathers are dead. You know, but what about God is not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living? Because God doesn't look at people as dead like that, because he knows I will raise them again. And God, he says, he inhabiteth eternity. He inhabits the future and the past. You know, he's extra dimensional and so on and so forth. Or at least we presume he must be.